سيهزم
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, a new episode, a new program is being presented before yourselves. And what is this program? What shall we be hearing about? Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the life of Ghawse Pak, the teachings of Ghawse Azam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmahullahu Ta'ala. Yes, his teachings and understanding those teachings in a modern era. Yes, in this day and age. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. No doubt there are many virtues and blessings in reciting, in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds. The most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself tells us, Zayyinu majalisakum bis salati alayya, fa inna salatakum alayya nurun lakum yawm al-qiyam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, adorn your gatherings by reciting, by sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For when you recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this shall be nur, shall be light for you on the day of judgment. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, please make it a regular habit of yours to send salawat, to recite the Durood Sharif, to say sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one easy, quick, simple form of salat, or sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please try to read this excessively as much as possible, inshallah azza wa jal, for indeed it is a means of huge amounts of reward. Let's all recite the Durood Sharif together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimallahu ta'ala is the saint of saints, the king of saints he is known as. This is no ordinary individual. No doubt he is a phenomenal individual. He is a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, a true friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one Madani views of Madani Channel who was always ready and prepared to give everything for the sake of his deen, for the sake of his religion. He loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loved the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Since this is the first episode, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we need to gain an understanding as to, yes, one thing, he was a beautiful personality himself. But then, how is it that we can have such people? How is it that we find such people? Is it just themselves, or is there also something behind them? And no doubt there are others who have an effect on them too. There are others, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, who play a huge role in their lives. There are others who support them, others who encourage them. And many a time, this is their own very parents. Now, Ghawse Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmallahu ta'ala, inshallah, to begin with, we shall be speaking about his parents. Because Allahu Akbar, it's difficult to speak about Ghawse Pak without speaking about his parents. Without speaking, it's difficult to speak about the piety of Ghawse Pak rahimahullah ta'ala without mentioning his parents. We mention the miracles and we hear of the miracles of Ghawse Pak Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, but it's difficult to say so without hearing about his parents. So let's learn a little about the parents, inshallah, and the lessons we can take from this. Now, to begin with, it said, his own very father, Hazrat Abu Salih, this was his, you can say, title given to him. Hazrat Abu Salih, Sayyidi Musa Jingi Dost, rahimullahu ta'ala. This was the father of Ghawse Azam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani. There's a quite a famous story mentioned. It stated that once Hazrat Sayyidina Musa Jingi Dost, meaning the father of Ghawse Pak Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahumullah, this father of his, when he was quite young, you can say, he was once walking beside a river. Yes, there was a stream by his side, a river by his side. And he was feeling very, very hungry. He required some sort of food. He had not eaten in a very, very long time. Now, we live in a world, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, where we rarely do we feel hungry. And, well, we all feel hungry. Somebody would say, what do you mean rarely we feel hungry? I'm feeling hungry right now. I personally am feeling hungry right now. But the only reason we are feeling hungry is maybe because we are busy with other things. Maybe we've just not had the opportunity to eat yet. You know, we are busy elsewhere, we are doing something. Maybe we've even forgotten to eat. Yes, many people say that sometimes they're working so hard, they just completely forget about food. They forget about eating. But then they feel the hunger and that's when they eat. So whenever we do feel hungry, nearly every single time, no problem, we will have some access. We will have some sort of access to food. I could just quickly go to the shop and purchase some food. Or I can go to the kitchen and make myself some food. So the reason for our hunger is not the lack of the accessibility of food, no. It's simply due to other reasons, not bothering about it, you know, wishing to remain hungry possibly. But in them days, my dear viewers, many people would not have access to food. So this particular individual, the father of Ghawse Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was feeling hungry, my dear viewers, and he's walking. You know, maybe again, he doesn't have access to food, but he was really hungry. And it's said that whilst he was thinking, this is feeling hungry, and he's walking, there's a stream by his side, and then he lays his eyes on an apple. Allahu Akbar, from all the things, an apple. So he gets hold of that apple. He fetches the apple, he takes the apple out of the water. And what would a person do? It's a nice apple. The apple's, if it was in water, it's nice and clean too. No, what better, subhanAllah. You'll be like, oh, subhanAllah, I needed some food and now I've been provided this food. He too, he's a young person. He's feeling hungry. He's found an apple and he begins to eat this apple. And when a person is hungry, they're not thinking completely clearly. It's completely normal, isn't it? Sometimes when you're really, really hungry, you don't do things normally. And we always say, I'm hungry. Like, well, why are you saying such things? Or why are you doing something? And somebody will say, I'm hungry. And then what's hunger got to do with it? Exactly. When a person's hungry, they're just thinking about the hunger. They're not thinking completely clearly. So this person, he's hungry, he sees this apple, he puts it in his mouth, meaning he eats this apple. Upon having eaten the apple, he then thinks to himself that, okay, you know, now I've eaten. So he thinks, that apple which I had seen, that apple which I have eaten, where did the apple come from? Maybe somebody owned the apple. I've gone and picked it up and just eaten it without even thinking about this. He thinks, Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, if I'm asked about this, what will I say? Maybe I've taken somebody's apple without their permission. I didn't ask nobody. I've taken this apple and I've eaten it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to ask me about this on the day of judgment, what am I going to do? So then he continues walking. He investigates, he tries to find the source for this apple. Where is it that this apple has come from? He continues walking. And he comes across a huge, beautiful house. And this house has an orchard, it has gardens, and there's many trees. Those trees are apple trees. The apples are ripe, and apples are seen falling into this tree. So now he understands, this is where my apple came from. He comes to the house, and he realizes, he discovers that this house is owned by a sheikh, Hazrat Abdullah Sawma'i rahimahullah ta'ala. He approaches him and he says, this is my situation. I was hungry. I was walking by the stream, by the river. I saw this apple. I just ate it. He says, this apple was yours. I've realized this apple was from your orchard and from your tree. He says, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I have eaten your apple. I did not get your permission. Please forgive me. Allahumma akbar. Now that person was not ordinary person. He was a sheikh. He himself was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking, this person, he has eaten an apple. What would anybody think? What would you say? It's only an apple. Don't worry about it. You know, there are many which are falling. What does it matter to me? This is what nearly anybody would say. But this person was a very intelligent person. So this person, what does he say? He sees there's this young man, and it doesn't even really matter, it's only an apple. But he's come to ask for forgiveness. This young man is no ordinary person. This person is a special person. Let's test his limits. And so he says, do you wish for forgiveness? He says, yes, please accept my apology. You're asking me to accept your apology? Okay, I'll accept your apology. But I have a condition. So what's your condition? My condition is that you have to serve me. You have to work for me. Work for you? Yes, you have to work for me. How long? For one day? You know, it's completely plausible. One day. Okay, fine. One day. Even that's the law. You expect me? It's only an apple. You're expecting me to work for one day. But no, he doesn't say one day. 1 week? No. A month? No. A year. A year, like no way. He didn't even say a year. He said, for 12 years you must work for me. Anybody else would be like, I think there's, you know, something wrong with this person. I've only taken an apple and you're expecting me to work for 12 years. I've showed you kindness by coming to you and asking for an apology. And, you know, telling you to your face, and this is what you are saying to me? But again, this was no ordinary individual. That the Musa, Jangi Dost, rahimallahu ta'ala, he says, I accept. 12 years! 12! 12 years! He accepts this. And then he begins to work for this person. But 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years pass by, 10 years pass by, 12 years pass by. And then he says, now will you accept my apology? That person says, yes, I'll accept your apology, but with another condition. He says, I have a daughter. This daughter is blind. She is deaf. She's not able to hear. But she is deaf is what he says. She is disabled. Her hands and feet are disabled. I wish for you to marry her and serve me for 2 years. Then after that, you can do as you wish. Firstly, okay, you're making this a precondition. We're talking about in this day and age, aren't we? You know, how can you make marriage to your very own daughter a precondition for you to accept my apology? How can you do so? And then you said 12 years and now another 2 years? Is this some sort of joke? And on top of that, you're telling me your daughter is disabled, she's blind, she's deaf, her hands and feet are disabled, and you're expecting me to do this? This is what anybody else would say. But again, this person, the father of Ghawsi Pak, Dr. Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's not like anybody else. So what does he say? He says, Allahu Akbar. He says, okay, I accept. And then the nikah has been performed. He's not seen her as of yet. They have been, the marriage arrangements, everything has taken place. He is now married to her. He approaches her. And he sees a beautiful woman. She's able to see him. You know, you can tell the way a person, if they're looking at you, you can tell this person is able to see. This person is not blind. She's able to see. She's able to hear him. He gives salam. She's able to hear him. She's able to speak. She's completely fine. Nothing wrong with her hands. Nothing wrong with her legs. She stood up. She's walking. So he does not approach. He's thinking, is this the same lady? He returns again to Hazrat Abdullah Soma'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says, this is what you said to me, that she's deaf, she cannot see, she's blind, she's disabled, her hands, her feet, etc. And he says, what I said to you is the truth. She's blind, she has never seen anything wrong. She's deaf, she's never heard anything wrong. Allahu Akbar, she has never seen anything she was not allowed to see. She has not ever heard anything she was not allowed to hear. She was disabled from her hands. She's never laid her hands on those things. She was not permitted to do so. She's disabled from her feet. She never takes a step towards wrongdoing. This is your wife. This is my daughter, he says. This, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, is the mother of Hazrat Ghawse Pak Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So on the one hand, we have the father who's not like anybody else, not like me or you, nobody today, Allahu Akbar. These conditions which were proposed, which were put down, nobody did in this day, nobody. I'll just buy you another apple. And it was an apology. But even if he didn't accept the apology, Allahu Akbar, did he do something wrong? But yet, this was his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the father. And then the mother was who? One who was Allahu Akbar. Who never saw nothing wrong. Who never heard nothing wrong. Mahfuz is what we call it. Protected from sins. Protected from sins. These were the parents. My dear viewers, why is it so important to understand this? Because some people think, you know, whatever I do is on me. What has it got to do with you? But sometimes it does have an effect on your child. It does have an effect on your child. There's a beautiful story mentioned about this girl. I'm going to mention it very quickly and briefly. There was this young girl. Her father was very, very poor. She thinks, okay, I'm going to go sell myself. That's what she thinks. I'm going to go sell myself to some man for some money so that I can help my family, so that I can help my parents. She goes out in the street. Nobody looks at her. She's thinking, nobody's looking at me. She's saddened, she's crying, she returns home. Parents thinking, what's the problem? What is it? She says, these were my intentions, this is what I intended to do. But nobody set eyes upon me. And the father says, how can anybody set eyes upon you when I have never set eyes upon anybody I was not supposed to set eyes upon? So, my dear viewers, what we do as parents, what you do, this can also have an impact on your children. And again, Ghawse Pak Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was born. He goes to the madrasa at a very, very young age. He goes to the madrasa and he begins to read. He reads Alif Ba. He reads the Quran al-Kareem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the teacher thinks, read Bismillah. He begins to read it, but he doesn't just stop there. He reads the entire thing, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Read Alhamdulillah. He reads the entire chapter, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all the way up until the end of the chapter. And then he continues, Alif Lam Mim. He continues reading Dhalik al Kitab. La rayba fih, hudan lil muttaqin. 18 parts of the Quran. There are 30 parts of the Quran. Paras as we would call them. 18 he reads by heart. Have you ever been to somebody else before? Have you already learned all this before? You've memorized it too? He says, no, I've never memorized it. So how do you know this? Because my mother had memorized 18 parts of the Quran. And whilst I was in the stomach of my mother, she would be reciting that constantly. And I would listen and hear her reciting the Quran. And because I have heard it so much, I have also committed it to memory. I have also been able to memorize, but I don't know anything else. Allahu Akbar. The parents, the actions of the parents, the impact, the effect it has on a child. Now, my dear viewers of Madinah, living in this day and age, yes, nobody would work 12, 14 years and marry somebody just over an apple. But what do we learn from this? That we shouldn't wrong another person. We shouldn't consume other people's, whether it be food, whether it be something else, without their permission. There's a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, he says, أَتَدْرُونَ مِنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who the bankrupt one is? The companions say, yes, of course. قَالُوا الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَ مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَاعُ. The companions say, yeah, Rasulullah, the bankrupt, yes, you know, that's easy. The bankrupt person is that person who he has no money, no dirhams, he has no mata', he has no wealth whatsoever. Ya Rasulullah, this is a person who is bankrupt. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, innal muflisa min ummati ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin wa ya'ti qad shatama hadha wa qadhafa hadha وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وضرب هذا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّةِ, that from my ummah, the one who shall be bankrupt, is that person who shall come on the day of judgment. He shall come, yes, he prayed salah, he shall come with many salah, he shall come with his fast, he shall come, you know, he's paid his zakat. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتْمَ هَذَا, but he insults one person. He says something to another person. He eats the wealth of another person. He spills the blood of such and such person. And he strikes and hits such and such person. And what shall happen? فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know, he's done this, he's done that. On the day of judgment, when he shall come with his zakat, which he has given, all his wealth, all his deeds, then those people he has harmed, his good deeds will be given to them. And he shall continue giving it to all those people, to all of those people whom he may have harmed, or he may have wronged, and then to such an extent that it could be that he has harmed so many people, he's run out of deeds, he's given all of his deeds away. Then what shall happen? Their bad deeds shall be placed on his skill, their bad deeds shall be given to him, and he shall be thrown into the fire of hell. The views of Madani Shaw, so many beautiful lessons to be learned, that we must not wrong others. One thing, we must not wrong others. And then as parents, our actions will affect our children. So we need to ask ourselves, have I wronged somebody? When I was selling something, did I deceive somebody? Did I lie to somebody? Did I harm somebody else? You know, sometimes I found money, somebody's dropped money. Will I just take it, put it in my pocket quickly? I know it's somebody else's, will I steal it? Will I harm another person? This person has right before me. Will I go harm them? Will I wrong them? And if it was, these are questions we need to be asking. We cannot harm or wrong another person. And the actions we perform, they will have an effect on others. When my children are there, they are present. When my child is there, what do I do? What should I be doing? What should I not be doing? Do I lie to others? Do I say one thing? Do I be hypocritical? Do I say one thing to her and then do another thing? Do I teach her to do wrong? All of these things shall one day come back to us. My dear viewers and mother, inshallah, we shall hear more about Ghawsi Park, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, in the next episode. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Ghawsi Azam.